welcome to another life-changing message from Pastor Vernell J.R. Samuel of Hungry for God Church. For more information, please visit our website, www.h4gchurch.com.
Amen. How is everybody doing? You guys all right? Okay, let's all stand. We're going to jump into this. The hour is far spent. We had an extended time of worship, which we enjoyed. Amen. But all of that has happened in the worship, we never want to stop short of an experience with God. Amen. It's not just about our songs. It's about an encounter with Jesus that we're here for. All right? So let's lift up our hands together. Malcolm, what's up? Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you. We love you. We set our hearts on you right now. We set our hearts on you, Lord God. We are so thankful. We're so grateful for all the things you have done, for what you have done for us. If you don't do another thing for us, we are eternally grateful because what you did through Christ 2,000 years ago on the earth, it changed our eternal destiny. And help us to continue to live faithful to that day, faithful to the day that you've made, that you rose from the dead and you gave us your eternal righteousness. Thank you, Lord, that no matter what we've done, no matter where we've gone, no matter what we've been through, Lord, you are building us up into one holy family. One holy family in Jesus. And so, God, as we take our eyes off ourselves and concentrate on you, thank you for showing us the way to eternal life. Use me, O God, as your manservant to speak into your people. Thank you, God, that your anointing is present to save, heal, and to deliver. In Jesus' name, amen. Look at somebody next to you, say, your breakthrough is now. So somebody else, your breakthrough is now. Amen. Let's clap our hands. Let's rejoice. Come on, let's rejoice in the Lord one more time. Hallelujah. You may have your seats. You may have your seats. We've been in our Size Matters series for now for about 4 weeks. Four weeks. And there's so much more that I would like to share from that series. But I just sense the Lord is leading me elsewhere. So we're going to put a pause on that just for a little while. And I want you guys to follow me. Just to follow me. I want you guys to open up to the book of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. Hallelujah. You know, we're very, here at H4G, we're a very casual church in the sense that we are intentional about creating an environment conducive for you to worship God with all of your heart. And what I mean by that is, oftentimes, I don't know about you, growing up in church, where I had to wear, you know, my two-piece and three-piece suits every Sunday. That was a restriction for me. Because first of all, I didn't want to mess up my suit. Number two, the way the suit was on, sometimes you try to lift up your hands and it's like your suit jacket is in the way. You know, and I was always expressive in worship. My favorite Bible character or person in the scriptures was David. And I was always inspired by his intensity and his tenacity to praise God. And I always kind of saw myself in David for many different reasons. Besides this fact that he was from a musician standpoint and just his leadership skills. Just the fact that he, although he loved God, we see that he had some shortcomings in his life. Although he loved God, he still had some, he had faults. And despite of his faults, yet God still called him a man after God's own heart. And even when he sinned and he fell short, he always found himself running back into the presence of God. And I think that he just gives us the perfect, David was just like the perfect representation for us as new covenant believers, because unlike his predecessor, the king before him, Saul sinned one time and he lost his kingdom. He sinned once and God said, you're no longer the king of Israel. But David sinned multiple times, and yet God never took the kingdom away from him. So why did David win a place of favor in God's heart to such a degree that he could mess up over and over again, but yet the Father still allowed him and gave him grace to remain king? I think it was because he loved the presence. Because he was a worshiper. Because despite of it, he still loved God. See, Saul disregarded the presence. He never brought the Ark of the Covenant to Israel. The first thing David did when he became king was, let's go and get the Ark of the Covenant and let's bring it back to Israel. The Ark of the Covenant was the place where they worshiped God. So his passion for the presence, he won a place in God so much to the point where God named his throne after David. Do you know that? The throne of grace is also known as the throne of David. You know, how could a man win that much of a place in God when God would name his throne after him? Come on. And he wasn't perfect. Enoch walked with God and he just went up to heaven. David, on the other hand, he lived a faithful life to the point of his death, bringing the church, or the Israel, the Old Testament church, into a place where they can reverence the presence of God together and worship God corporately. And I'm telling you, when you choose the better part. We talked about that with Mary and Martha. Martha got busy working for God, and Mary just sat at Jesus' feet and wanted to just remain in the presence of Jesus. And Jesus said, she chose the better part. It's not about the works you do for me, but if you just simply set your heart towards me and just simply desire to love my presence more than anything else, I will honor you and give you a place in me that nowhere else you can find it. Not in your service to God, not in your works to God, not even in your songs. Just positioning your heart to just simply be faithful to the presence of God. And that's the type of church we want to build, is that we will be a church that lives a lifestyle of presence. Not a Sunday praise and worship church, but a church that Saturday, even on Sunday, we would just simply desire the presence of God in our lives on a day-to-day basis. We will practice the presence. Host the presence of God. And that's one of the things that I want to teach our church to do. But in order for us to get to that point, there is a attribute, thank you, Holy Spirit, there is an attribute that we need in our hearts to become established in this understanding of walking with God and learning how to be a man or a woman of presence. And I want to deal with an issue that I believe God put in my spirit this week that he wants me to address this church on. I actually shared it by our friend Courtney Bradley's church on Thursday for his anniversary. And it was actually that morning the Lord gave me this word. And I thought it was going to just be for Sunday, but he actually said, no, preach it at Remnant. Preach it at Courtney Bradley's church. And it was powerful. I mean, people are still messaging me and talking about how it is literally transformed their lives just in these past 2 days. Sending me Facebook messages and all this stuff, just saying how their lives has changed because of that message. And so I'm gonna share it. I'm gonna introduce it to us today. If you guys are ready for that, I want you to get ready to take notes because of the time. I may go a little fast, but I just want to introduce it because I'm gonna start today and continue next week. All right. Amen. Let's read Proverbs chapter 3. And Priscilla actually started off here when she opened up in prayer. Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. Many of you know it. Hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah. We love you, Jesus. Trust in the Lord with portion. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. Next verse. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Next verse. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Verse 8. And it shall be health to your navel and marrow to your bones. Now this is the verse that we're gonna camp around. Verse 9. Honor the Lord. Everybody say honor. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. Once again, honor. I want you to do, if you have your Bibles, just put an underline under that word. If you have your phone apps, just highlight that verse in your Bible. Because what we're going to talk about today is the principle of honor. Everybody say honor one more time. Honor. Honor is a missing virtue in our churches today, and not just our churches, our culture, our communities, our schools, our homes. We're missing the virtue of honor. Honor in our country, specifically America, in the Western world, honor is not valued. Or in other words, the things that we actually honor in other parts of the world are detestable. The things that we honor, for example, credit. You know, some countries, they don't have credit. You either buy what you can afford, or you don't buy anything at all. Right? There's no debt in some places in the world because if you have it, you buy it. But our country encourages us to spend and spend and spend and spend and spend and spend. And then we created this imaginary picture of success, what they call the American dream. Having your house and your car, big house, big car, family, dogs, a nice green yard with a picket fence, right? This picture of what it looks like to be successful. And then to top it off, we want to actually become successful by ourselves. The American dream is, I'm going to use my independence and my skills and my abilities to acquire success. I'm going to go in debt because I'm not going to depend on anybody else. I'm going to go in debt. I'm going to become successful. I'm going to acquire fame and fortune, however that comes. And then we become celebrated for our status. America, we celebrate status, right? The more money you have, the more perks is available to you. And all these different things that in our country specifically, because it's not like that around the world, but we think it is. We think that this is what it looks like to be on top. And so we honor the people who go out their way. And that's why people kill for sneakers today and rob people for clothes. And we'll do so much just to have material things because our country honors that. Okay? One of the things God began to put in my heart was that there's a strong spirit of dishonor on this generation that we need to break. He told me, don't even keep teaching on expansion yet. He said, until my church understands honor, their lives will be put on pause. Until you understand honor in every sense of the word, your life will be put on hold. The kingdom of God cannot function in your life until you understand honor. It's a kingdom law. It's a kingdom principle. There's no way you can serve a king and don't understand protocol. See, we talk about your gifts shall make room for you and bring you before great men. But it's your protocol that keeps you in the presence of great men. It's honor that keeps you in the presence of great men. America, we value giftedness. And we celebrate our gifts. This is the most gifted generation, I think, that the world has ever seen. We're the most gifted, the most talented, probably the most knowledgeable, thanks to the technology that we have access to. We are so gifted. We're so smart. We're so intelligent. And nobody can tell us nothing. We know so much, but we don't look like what we know. You know why? Because we created a generation where we honor people's giftedness. And when you honor giftedness, you actually breed entitlement. So we're struggling with this issue of entitlement because we've honored the gift. The Bible never endorses the honoring of gifts. Gifts come without repentance, so you don't even got to live right to be gifted. What the Bible actually teaches we honor is character, faithfulness, loyalty. That's what we talked about last week. Did I get to touch on the parable of the 10 talents? The person who had 5 talents. And the Bible says when the Lord gave him these 5 talents, he sowed it, he invested in it, and he was able to give back 10. And the person who had 2, he invested in it, and he was able to double it. But the person with the 1 talent buried the talent. And the answer that he gave back to the Lord was, I perceive that you are a hard man. You are a hard man that you reaped where you didn't sow. So the Lord rebuked him and said, you wicked and unfaithful servant. And he took away the 1 that he had and gave it to the person who was faithful with the 5 and with the 2. The reason why the Lord did that was the fact that the person with the 1 did not honor the Lord with the 1 he had. And you know he didn't honor him because of his view of him. You are a hard man. The others didn't see the master like that. You see, we talk a lot about faith, but real faith always brings you into honor. Listen to me. Faith is proven by honor. You only honor what you believe in. You only have honor for what you believe in. If you don't believe in your marriage, you won't honor it. If you don't believe in your church, you won't honor it. If you don't believe in your pastor, you won't honor him. If you don't believe in whatever you don't believe in, you won't honor. You won't have any honor for. And the problem that many of us have in our lives is not a money problem. It's not a education problem. It's an honor issue. Many of us have not been taught to honor anymore. In the East, one of the phrases, especially specifically in Japan, the phrase that's like their code of conduct in Japan is death before dishonor. Y'all guys ever heard that before? Death before dishonor. In other words, I'm willing to die or lose my life before I dishonor what I've given my heart over to. See, when you honor something, you're giving your heart. You're giving your all, you're surrendering yourself to what you honor, all right? So if we are growing up in a culture where we're taught not to honor anyone and that we're supposed to depend on ourselves for our own success and our own glory, then what begins to happen is we no longer value the very virtue that's necessary for life to flow. We cannot be a community without honor. Right? A community without honor is dysfunction. A family without honor is dysfunction. You cannot function, we cannot operate together in unity without honor. Everybody say honor. It's going to convict some of you because it's convicted me. We cannot build that, a family cannot be established without honor. No business can succeed without honor. If we're going to learn how to be a people of presence and a people of power, we have to value this virtue called honor. To be faithful is to honor something, right? The sign that you believe in something is that you honor it despite of what you hear, right? If you honor your friendship, somebody can come to you and tell you something about your friend, but because you honor the friendship, no matter how bad it sounds, you're not going to take that person's word for it because you honor something. You're willing to protect it. Death before dishonor. I'm laying down my life for what I honor. Loyalty, faithfulness, right? These are all true characteristics of a person who walks in the spirit of honor. And God needs his church to begin to practice, to walk, and to live, breathe this spirit of honor. We need to begin to become honorable. We need to look at each other and honor one another as much as we honor the Lord. And if we truly say we honor the Lord, we'll honor people. Because he also said, how can I say I love God and not love the people that I see around me? So there's no way you say you honor God and don't honor people. We learn how to honor God by honoring people. As a matter of fact, that's why the first commandment with the promise is to honor your parents. Honor your father and mother in the Lord, for this is right. Right? This is the first to obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, for this is the first commandment with a what? Promise. And that was taken from the Old Testament, right? Exodus 20, the commandments that were given to Moses, to the people of Israel. The first command with a promise, what, with a long life, was honor. So the minute you operate in dishonor, you cut your life short. The quality of your life is shortened when you don't walk in honor. And you cannot operate in obedience and faithfulness to God if you don't know how to honor your parents. Because that's your first leaders. Look at the verse we read, Proverbs 3. Hallelujah. The Bible says, honor the Lord with your what? All right, so I want to talk quickly. Who do we honor? What do we honor? How do we honor? If I get to that, I don't. We'll continue next week. But I want to talk about who do we honor, right? Who are we supposed to have honor with? Well, the first person we're supposed to have honor to is the Lord. Amen? We're supposed to honor God. We all understand that, right? Don't get quiet on me now, right? All right? The quieter you are, the more convicted I know you'll be. It's okay, all right? Honor the Lord with your substance. All right, so the Bible says we're supposed to honor God with your substance. So tell me, how do you honor a God who you can't see with substance? How do you get substance to a God you can't see? Right? So the Bible says, what is our substance? Hebrews 11, verse 1. Now what? Faith is the what? Substance of things hoped for, which means you cannot honor God without faith. Faith is the first way we honor the Lord. You honor God with your faith. Faith is your trust, your reliance, your dependency, your wholeheartedness on the Lord. So trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. That's honor. When you trust God with your heart and you're willing to submit your understanding, you allow his word to become the primary voice and the primary authority of your life. You're honoring God. When you can trust God with your life, when you can surrender your decision making to God, and you can surrender your understanding to God, and you're willing to walk with God despite of your feelings, despite of your emotions, and you're willing to do what he says and follow his word, that's honor. So guess what's happening? We're coming to church and we're singing songs and we're even reading the Bible, but that doesn't mean we honor him. Because honor is proven by your faith. And faith is proven with your honor. So again, we talk about faith, but let me see your honor to what you say you're faithful to, and I'll show you if you have faith. Because your faith is proven by your honor. You hear a pin drop in here. Let me show you the connection between faith and honor. Look at this verse real quick. Turn to Mark chapter 6. Hurry up. Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6. Listen to me, church. I'm talking to my church. I'm talking to you. And I'm speaking to you on behalf of God. This is critical for your life. This is critical for your life. The spirit of dishonor, rebellion, and lawlessness is trying to take you out. Your family, your kids. You wonder why your kids don't honor you? You have to walk in honor. You want to know why you don't have favor in certain areas of your life? Because you got to walk in honor. Favor comes from honor. Nobody gets favor to someone who's dishonorable. You want to tap into the supernatural? The supernatural rides on the back of honor. You want to see miracles in your life? Honor. Let me show you why. Mark chapter 6. Look at the Bible. Verse 1, New King James Version says this. Then he went out from there. Jesus comes back to his own hometown. Verse 1. And his disciples followed him. And when the Sabbath had come, he began to teach in the synagogue. And many hearing him were astonished. Where did this man get these things from? And what wisdom is this which is given to him, that such mighty works are performed by his hands? Is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us? So they were offended at him. All right? So here it is. Jesus goes back to his hometown, and the people that grew up around him, they knew his occupation. He was a carpenter. All right? He went away for a little while. He started his preaching ministry. He was going around all around the towns and the cities, healing the sick, casting out devils, raising the dead. People are experiencing the glory of God through Jesus Christ. And then the Bible says that when he came back home, when they heard his preaching, they knew it was something powerful, something special on him. But they couldn't get past the fact that this was the Jesus they saw growing up. And because now his ministry was taken off, the Bible says they were offended at him. You know what happens? You know what happens to us? This might have happened to you, but it sure happened to me. Many times, people get offended. People get offended when they realize it's your time to be honored. The people that are close to you get offended when they recognize it's your time to be honored. Why would you be offended at the fact that somebody that you saw grow up and is now being quote-unquote successful and is starting to, things are starting to pick up for their lives? Why is it that you're being offended, you're being hurt in your heart towards this person who's now deserving of honor? Why do people get offended at moments like that? What is it? Jealousy? Selfishness? See, we don't mind honoring the people who are far away from us. But the people that's close to us, we have a hard time honoring them. That-mindedness. Honestly, I don't know why that happens, but it's not supposed to happen. It's not supposed to happen. And what we see in scriptures is that even Jesus experienced this, where he goes back home, he's expecting probably to be celebrated and to receive, but the Bible says he came to his own and his own received him not. Listen, the same thing is going to happen to you. The Bible, Paul, Jesus said right after that, he said, a prophet is not without what? Honor, except in his own country, among his own relatives, and his own, and in his own house.
So your country, your relatives, your own house even may not show you honor when it's your time to be honored. Okay? So if that's the case, how do I respond to that? How do I respond to this honor when it comes to me? That actually shows how honorable you are. All right? Jesus, the Bible says, he said to them, a prophet is not without honor. Now the Bible says, verse 5, now he could do no mighty work there except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them. So here's the connection between honor and faith. Because they could not honor Jesus, he could work no miracles. It's not that he couldn't work the miracles, but there is something about honor. There's something about honor that when you honor someone, the anointing that's on them has the capability of reaching you. But if you dishonor a person, there was no shortage of the anointing on Jesus. Trust me about that. There was no shortage of power on Jesus. It was their honor that couldn't release the anointing or the supernatural in their lives. So you know why most of our churches avoided the supernatural? It's not because there's no power. It's not because there's no anointing. It's because there's a shortage of honor. Shortage of honor. Jesus could work no miracles. The miracle working God. The water on walking God. Walking on water God. All right? The one who multiplied food we just talked about. How we actually extract the supernatural in our lives is through honor. It's through faithfulness. It's through loyalty. Honor is attributing a sense of value and worth to something. All right? And it shows in your faithfulness to it. When you can recognize, see, this is what wisdom is, actually. Wisdom helps you to understand who to honor. When you lack wisdom, you don't know who to honor. You don't know when to honor. People go to jail because they don't know who to honor and they don't know what to honor. Right? This is why you can trace all of your success or failure in life to something or someone you chose to honor or you failed not to, or you chose not to honor. You can trace all of your success and all of your failures in life to something you chose to honor or a person you chose to honor or a person you chose not to honor. The quality of your life flows to the principle of honor. So you walk around and say, I don't got to listen to you. And we size people up because we think that either we're more gifted or we're more anointed. We're more intelligent, we're smarter than you, or we're more good looking than you, or I've been in church longer than you. Or whatever reason, we try to build our sense of significance or importance. And that is a sense of that is a sign of dishonor. Because Jesus said, I can send a child in my name. Can you honor a child if I send it to you? See, and that's how we miss the miracles in our lives. Because God sends people to us all the time, and most times he sends it in a package we probably won't honor. Why? Because honor is the key to the release of the supernatural in our lives. So he needs to train us to honor all. Jesus comes back. He came in a package they didn't respect, so they dishonored him. He could work no miracles. Then, this is why the Bible shows us, the greatest miracles that happened in Jesus' ministry happened with outsiders, the Gentiles. The greatest sign of faith that he saw were in people who weren't even Jews. Remember that? Why? Because they honored him more than the people that was closest to him. Hallelujah. Reason why I believe God is sending us this word is because where we're going next as a church, we have got to come back to this core value of honor. God will not trust us with people that we're not going to honor. It's not. You might say honor. So who do we honor? Number one, we honor the Lord. Write that down. We honor God. We honor the Lord. Number two, who else do we honor? We honor everybody. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 17. 1 Peter 2, 17. Write that down. Number two, we honor everyone. The Bible says in 1 Peter 2, 17, honor all men, right? The original translation doesn't even have men. It just says honor all. Honor all people. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the king. All right? So number two, we honor God. Number one, we honor God. Number two, we honor everybody. Say, I honor everybody. Now, why can we honor everybody? It's real simple. The Bible tells us that God created everybody in his image and in his likeness. Okay? So if God created everybody in his image and likeness, it goes back to the fact that I cannot say I honor God and don't honor people. Because people look like God. People are God's created, is God's creation. God created us in his image. We are God's reflection. So we actually practice how to honor God by honoring people. Jesus died for who? People. The blood of God was shed for everyone. So if Christ died and gave his life for everyone, that is the evidence that everyone is worthy or deserving of honor. Because he laid down his life for us. You don't give your life for something you don't honor. So the Bible says, Psalm 8, God crowned us with glory and honor. Amen? So people are worthy of honor. So we honor people. No one around you is worthy of dishonor. We honor people. Now, there are some people who walk in rebellion, walk in lawlessness, walk in all types of stuff. Now, you don't honor the spirit behind some of their decision-making, but you still honor the person, the human being, right? The vessel. We honor people because it's actually honor that actually, if we truly honor people, it has the power to bring redemption in people's lives. The homeless man we walk past every day, if people honor him, I guarantee his life will change. Honor has a way of bringing the best out of people. When somebody believes in you, when there's people who become successful, who are on a road, they were on a wrong road, and somebody came and said, hey, man, they believed in this person, and they invested and they poured into them. Because of the fact somebody took the time to honor them and invest in them, their whole entire lives changed. Right? Anybody experienced that in their own lives personally? All right? Somebody honoring somebody can change their lives. You see, we talk about how evil the world is. The Bible says doesn't teach us that the world is evil. The Bible talks about when we react, how we react to evil is actually a greater evil. Because the Bible says that we're supposed to overcome evil with good. Right? You guys know that the Bible says that? Hello, am I talking to you? You guys know that? All right, so we overcome evil in our lives with good, but you can't overcome evil with good if you don't honor people. You see, we don't have a problem with evil, right? It's goodness that's an issue. Because we're choosing not to be good when we see evil. So evil keeps lingering and keeps going on, but the only way you're going to change your perspective from responding to evil with evil is by learning how to find honor in even what looks evil. Come on. We blame the evil. We blame the darkness. We blame the enemy. We blame everybody for not walking in honor. We are honorable because Christ died for us. And we understand our worth to him. And because we walk in a new sense of honor and dignity, we now bring that honor and dignity to the world around us. If you believe in your salvation, if you believe in your transformation, We honor people. We honor God. Number three, we honor leaders. Everybody say we honor leaders. Bible talks about that. We honor the king. We honor governors, authority figures, and leadership. Number four, we honor our parents. Write that down. We honor our parents. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1 through 3. We honor our parents in the Lord. We honor our parents. Number five, we honor widows, the orphans, and the poor. James chapter 1, verse 27. Do you know that we're supposed to honor widows, we honor orphans, the fatherless, and we honor the poor? You know that we're taught, we're instructed by Christ to take care and to honor poor, the people who don't have. Why? Because when you honor the poor, the Bible actually says you lend to the Lord. When you honor people who can't do, who cannot pay you in return, you practice honoring God, because that's how our relationship to God looks. Because what God did for us, we cannot pay him back for it. We were poor, and Christ found us. Come on. So when you walk with, you live with a sense of honor, the Bible says, you know, you find some poor, you find the poor, you don't walk over them, because that's a picture of you. You were poor in spirit. You had nothing, and I came and gave you everything. That's the gospel. That he that was poor became rich. And he that was rich became poor for us. Honor. Get somebody next to you, say, I honor you. Last thing, last person we honor, Bible said we honor ministers. We honor ministers, pastors, and leaders. I believe 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 17 talks about how we honor ministers. The Bible says that a person who, do I have that verse written down? Somebody turn to it real quick. 1 Timothy 5, 17. We're almost done. 1 Timothy 5, 17. Yes. Let the elders, and when he talks about elders in the context of the church, let the elders, the pastors or the leaders of a church that rule well be counted worthy of what? Not just honor, double honor. Especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. So the Bible says you're supposed to give a double portion of honor to the people who bring the word of God to you. Double portion of honor. And he said in the next verse, verse 18, for the scripture saith, coming, he's quoting an Old Testament verse, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn, and the laborer is worthy of his reward. So from the context of the kingdom, God says, those who labor and bring you the word is worthy of double honor. There's something special about bringing the word, the Bible says, that deserves double honor. And that's something, if we honor the Lord, we want to pay close attention to. Because the revelation that a person who rules well and gives you teaching, gives you revelation and truth, a person who invests their lives in study and in the word and in prayer to come to stand before you, to give you a word that is supposed to take your life from one level to another level. The Bible says if somebody gives you spiritual gain, what is it for you to honor them with your natural resources? But in our world today, we honor the natural more than the spiritual. Right? People go on their phones. The preaching is going on, and they text. They scroll on Instagram. They go on Snapchat. The word is going forth. No honor! That's what honor, honor. You honor a teacher with a notebook, and you take notes. That's how you honor a teacher. That you value their words. When people walk with Jesus, the Bible says they sat, that term, they sit at a person's feet. It's not just a literal term, they literally just sit there. It's a phrase that means that they're willing to submit. They're submitting. They're bound their allegiance to the person they're walking with. That's what sitting at a person's feet means. That wherever they go, I'm sitting right next to them. I want to hear what they have to say. That's what discipleship looked like. People walked with disciples. It didn't just happen with Jesus. When Plato had disciples, Aristotle had disciples. It was the Greek culture, it was a symbol of, remember, people didn't go to classrooms to learn. People didn't go to classrooms to learn. They walked with people to learn from them. Right? Why would God give me fresh revelation to share if the revelation that was shared prior, you did nothing with? What's the point? Bible says we don't cast pearls to swine. Swine waste. They don't understand the difference between pearl and rice. It looks the same. It's white. That's all they know. But when you understand honor, a wise swine understands the difference. Now, this is worth more. I'm not going to eat this. Right? They understand. Church, my point is, God needs the honor, the virtue to rise back up in our hearts. Some of you have been around some jokers all your lives, and you came around people who were dishonorable, so you chose not to honor leaders because the leaders weren't honorable. Right? You've been around teachers who played around with the word, so the teaching comes and you just treat it like it's another word. But I know the quality of the word that I preach here. I don't play with this. And I have to give an account for what I'm doing here. But guess what? You're going to have to give account for what you hear. So I don't want to give you a word that you're going to be responsible for that you are not prepared to honor with your life. God, it is some things I can't teach you yet because you're not ready for it. It's true. Moses couldn't even make it to the promised land. Not because he wasn't ready. God put the entire nation of Israel on hold because they had an issue with honor. And a whole generation passed away until another one rose up to say, we're going to follow your word. We have faith. We believe. We're going to be faithful to the word you said. We can go and take that land. We're going to go and take that land. But where's the honor? Your life is going to be put on hold till you learn to honor, church. Honor the preaching of the word. Honor the time we gather here. Yeah, it's 5:40. It's late. So what? You want to rush out here and go back to your dysfunction? When the presence of God is lingering here to set you free from a destructive cycle in your life. And it's going to happen through the word. People say, oh, church is too long today. But they want to go back home to their jacked up lives. What are you running home to? You need to be at the altar crying out and asking God, God, deal with me, Father. Send breakthrough. Lord, save. Send prosperity. Do something. Because I don't want to go back home the same way I came. See, but the supernatural comes through honor. So when there's no honor, you come to church and your honor is low, nothing happens for you, and you go back home and you say, well, nothing happened to me. Just like when Jesus came to his hometown, nothing happened for them. It wasn't because of the anointing on Jesus, it was because of their honor. So I'm trying to get you to understand how the supernatural works. It works through the principle of honor. I'm telling you, Jesus, I'm almost done. Whoever humbles themselves will be exalted, the Bible says. Whoever exalts themselves will be humbled. So he's telling us that your ambition, that's where the entitlement comes in. Seeking recognition as to why you should be honored is the wrong way to seek honor. Jesus gave us the illustration in Luke 14. He says, if you're invited to a wedding, don't go and sit at the top of the table Because if someone more honorable than you walks in, you got to move. That's why we don't honor our giftedness. Because if you're the most gifted person in this room now, and somebody else comes into this church more gifted than you, guess what? You're going to have to be moved. But if you operate in a level, in a character, with a character that sets you apart from the gift, then by scripture, we're supposed to honor the character more than the gift. So if you demonstrate loyalty, you demonstrate faithfulness, right? You demonstrate devotion, then that is more honorable than your gift. That's why humility must be modeled in order for honor to be promoted, because honor is measured by faithfulness. Honor is measured by humility. So if a person takes the lowest seat, and then the person who throws the feet says, oh man, you sit in the back. Why don't you come up and sit in the front? That's a greater honor to be shouted out and recognized by somebody with authority. But if you, with your entitled self, want to take the front seat and expect people to recognize you because of your title or your gift, and you say, well, I deserve to be here because of you want, the Bible says, no, you take the low route, right? You humble yourself. I love Sister Carol. The most, she models humility to our house. A superstar by every sense of the word. And what tops it off is the humility she models. You don't even know. You know how people came to this church and came to me and said, Is that Carol? Son, you guys probably don't even know who she is. Is that Carol? Is that Carol Addison? That's what they say. The Carol Addison? This lady is touring around the world, saying on stages with the names you love. Well, your parents, maybe, some of you. She comes, she sits, she takes notes, she just serves. She doesn't want anybody to know. She doesn't, I don't want anybody to know. You know, I'm just here, little old Carol. But when she gets the mic, when she gets that mic, boy, you know you're just listening to some amateur. But you know why that happens? It's because of the humility she models. And she serves. She comes here. I'm probably half her age, but yet she receives the wisdom that comes from this mic and this pulpit whenever I speak to her. And that's why God will continue to elevate her even now. That's the type of character we want to see modeled in our church. That's what we want to see: loyalty, faithfulness, commitment. I don't care how smart you are. That doesn't move heaven. I want us to honor the things that moves heaven, that gets heaven to come to earth. That's what I want us to honor. That's what I want us to value. Humility gets heaven to come to earth. So let's walk in humility. Faithfulness gets heaven to come to earth. So let's walk in that, church. Encouragement. When we encourage people and not talk bad about people, that brings heaven to earth. So let's model those things. Right? So what do we honor? We honor, I'm going to stop here. We're going to continue. I'm going to stop. Number one, what do we honor? We honor God's principles, God's word, God's purposes. Write that down. I'll stop here. We honor God's principles, God's purposes, and God's priorities, God's word. Okay? That's where we start. Whatever is a principle, whatever is a priority in God's kingdom, that's what we learn to honor. That's what we learn to value. All right? So when we come back next week, we're going to go a little deeper in this, because I'm going to show you how honor functioned in the early church in the book of Acts and how it led to exponential growth, how it led to expansion in the church. But I'm telling you, look, I'm just going to end by Proverbs 3. Look at what the Bible says. I didn't even get past this verse. Jesus. Proverbs 3, verse 9. Honor the Lord with your substance. What's your substance? What's the first substance we honor the Lord with? Faith. So without faith, it's impossible to please God. So you can bring your money, but if your faith is not attached to it, it doesn't matter. You can sing songs, but if your faith Your trust, your wholehearted devotion is not attached to your songs. It doesn't matter. The substance of faith, all right? That's what we honor the Lord with. Then he says, and with the first fruits of your increase. So then he talks about money. So when you honor people, the people who God wants you to honor, that we just talked about, with your substance, with your faith, number one, and then you bless people financially. That's the way to honor people. You honor people with time. You invest in them with time, right? Faith is the currency of heaven, but money is the currency on earth. So what we can give to God by faith, what we can actually do is measure how much we honor people by how much we're willing to pour into them, how much we're willing to invest in them. And for some of you, it might be money. For some of you, it might be time. It might be a listening ear. But when you come into God's presence, you just don't want to just be here and go with the motions and just say, hey, I'm giving God my 2 hours of religious devotion when I come here on Sundays. You might as well just stay home. Right? That's dead works. But when you come and I bring my heart with me, I bring my faith with me, I have an expectation that God is going to do something new in my life. I'm not coming for church as usual. I'm coming for a word that will transform my life, that's going to change me. I'm ready to lean out of my own understanding. I'm ready to acknowledge Him in all my ways. I'm not willing to be wise in my own eyes. I want to grow in my fear of the Lord. When you come with your heart ready to be submitted, you're ready to pour out all that you have in order to walk with God honorably, then the Bible says He will cause your barns to burst with new wine. Look at the next verse, verse 10. So shall your barns be filled with plenty. Somebody say plenty. Your barns, your storehouses will be filled with plenty, and your presses shall burst out with new wine. Anybody say new wine? All right? So here it is. The key to new wine, the key to increase, the key to more expansion in our lives comes through the principle of honor. So if your life is experiencing reduction and shortage, and is not taking off, I'm going to question you. Who have you failed to honor? What have you not been honoring in your life? What principle in God's word have you chosen to ignore? If you don't honor tithing, you can't expect to walk in the blessing of your storehouse, of heaven's storehouses being unlocked and all those things, because you're not honoring that principle. Any principle you honor is what causes it to be released in your life. If you're dishonoring your parents, you can't expect long life. Yeah? Honor. Somebody say honor. If you don't honor your marriage won't work. Community can't flourish without honor. Everything in our lives work on the principle of honor. I hope you see that. The word of God won't work unless you honor it. Praise and worship would just be a song and a waste of breath if you're not coming and bringing your honor to the Lord when you sing to Him. Amen? And honor, Bible says in the book of Isaiah, it says these people honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. So honor is not lip service. Honor is a posture of the heart. It's your heart you have to bring with you when you come. It's your heart when you want to honor someone. I want my heart to be involved. I want my heart to be offered up to God when I'm coming before Him. When I say, hey, I love you, man, I really want to mean it. When I say I'll bless you, I really want to mean it. I guess, again, people in church, we know the cliches in church stuff. But our honor, man, our honor sucks. Our honor sucks. We don't honor the time. We have prayer at 2:30. No one wants to show up for 2:30. We don't honor prayer. So if you don't honor prayer, the benefits of prayer won't be added to you. Anything you want to see work in your life works through honor. Let's all stand.
This concludes another life-changing teaching from Hungry for God Church. For social media updates and more teachings from our pastors and leaders, please visit our site, h4gchurch.com.